This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Governor Whitmer ordered Enbridge last November to close Line 5 this week. And since then, we've had 6 months of litigation, conversation, and time for things to stew. Governor Whitmer agrees with environmentalists and Native tribes that a section of Line 5 in the Straits of Mackinac is vulnerable to a spill, but things are not necessarily seen the same way on the other side of the international border. Amanda Coletta is a reporter based in Toronto who covers Canada for The Washington Post. Amanda Coletta, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks for having me.
Let's go back a few years on this. Line 5, of course, has existed for decades. And on the U.S. side of the border, things have become controversial relatively recently. What is the Canadian narrative about Line 5? And is it as controversial over there as it is over here?
It sort of depends on who you ask. So I think until recently, until this deadline sort of appeared, there are probably a lot of Canadians who didn't really know about Line 5 or didn't pay much attention to it. Now that the deadline has sort of loomed and there's been a lot more attention given to the pipeline and the possibility of it shutting down, it's featured more heavily in media coverage. I think reaction and sort of the narrative about the pipeline sort of depends on who you ask. So there are certainly Indigenous groups, environmentalists on this side of the border who support shutting down the pipeline for all of the same reasons that their counterparts in the United States and Governor Whitmer oppose the pipeline. But the reaction from some of the federal government officials and provincial government officials and people in the communities where there are refineries that are served by Line 5, they would have, you know, a much different reaction.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit more about Enbridge's corporate profile in Canada?
So it's a Calgary-based company, and its mainline system carries oil and natural gas liquids from Alberta to the U.S. Midwest and to eastern Canada. It was sort of interesting doing reporting on this issue for The Post. I think one thing that maybe Canadians aren't aware of is how Michiganders sort of feel about Enbridge, particularly after the Line 6B spill many years ago, and sort of the way that the company reacted to it, which it appeared in my reporting still seemed to impact how people feel about the company and this particular pipeline project.
Yeah. Now, as we mentioned, this is not exactly a surprise story. There have been 6 months of conversations and litigation and brewing and things brewing leading up to this week. Tell us what the Canadian government's response was when our governor, Gretchen Whitmer, announced 6 months ago that the state was not going to permit Enbridge to operate.
So I think it kind of passed a little bit under the radar here. We've heard more about Line 5 really this year. There is a parliamentary committee that is responsible for studying issues related to the economic relationship between Canada and the United States. And earlier this year, it held a series of hearings on Line 5 in particular. So it invited, you know, Canada's Natural Resources Minister, Seamus O'Regan, Canada's Ambassador to the United States, Kirsten Hillman, a variety of public servants who are engaged on this issue, representatives from Enbridge, members of the business community, the mayor of Sarnia, Ontario, where Line 5 ends and there's a refinery and there's concerns that shutting down the pipeline might lead to thousands of jobs to be lost, to testify before the committee. And they submitted a report at the end of the hearings where, you know, the top line message was essentially shutting down Line 5 is something that needs to be avoided at all costs. And the federal government should be doing everything it can to communicate its position to its U.S. counterparts. There's pretty much consensus among all of the federal political parties, with the exception of the Green Party, on this issue. And that's pretty unusual. It's rare to get all of the federal Canadian political parties to agree on anything and to agree on an issue related to energy policy, which is often pretty contentious up here. According to the Canadian government, the pipeline provides about half of the livestock that is used by Ontario's refineries to make gasoline, propane, other fuels, some of the jet fuel that supplies Toronto's Pearson Airport, as well as 66% of Quebec's crude oil. So we're talking about two, you know, populous provinces. Canadian officials, including Canada's Natural Resources Minister, have cast this as sort of a threat to Canada's energy security. And the minister, Seamus O'Regan, also said that Canada believes that the continued operation of the pipeline is non-negotiable. Yesterday was a deadline, I believe, to submit amicus briefs in the legal dispute between the state and Enbridge, and Canada's government submitted an amicus brief in support of Enbridge, where they made several arguments. One is that shutting down the pipeline would threaten Canada's energy security, that basically you'd need to get this oil and natural gas to the communities where it needs to go some other way. So that might be by rail, by truck, by boat. These are sort of means that some Canadian officials believe would be less environmentally friendly and potentially more dangerous. And in Canada, there is a long memory of a rail disaster many years ago where a train carrying fuel derailed in a Quebec town called Lac Mégantic, and it exploded and almost 50 people died. So that was one thing. And they also argued it would increase costs by about $2 billion annually, and there would be massive revenue losses and job losses in Canada's energy sector, which has been struggling for years and also took a hit because of the pandemic. But it also made another argument, which I thought was quite interesting, which is that Canada and the United States have a treaty from the 1970s, a sort of pipeline treaty, which says that neither side should prevent or impede or interfere with in any way the transit of a hydrocarbon across borders, except in limited situations. So a natural disaster, for instance, or a major safety concern. And the amicus brief, it said that Canada was considering invoking this treaty and that it was in conversations with U.S. officials about it. And this is something that I heard from Canadian officials that I spoke to, that they really fear that a shutdown of the pipeline could irreparably harm U.S.-Canada relationships. And these are, of course, ties that Canada has been eager to reset with a new president in the White House.
For sure. I wanted to ask you, I know that Prime Minister Trudeau has met with President Biden and that Line 5 came up. Can you give us a sense for the context in terms of, like, you know, maybe why is this different than the Keystone XL project or other points of contention within this environmental and business relationship between the two countries?
That's a good question. And it's something that officials in Alberta have sort of been raising as well, because Keystone was something that an issue that was very important to Alberta. And so there's sometimes a sense that, you know, the federal government is making a bigger deal over this pipeline because it's Ontario and Quebec that are going to be impacted. And there's been sort of a sense of alienation building in Alberta and Saskatchewan over several years. What the government would say is that Keystone was a project that was under construction, and that President Biden, he campaigned on a on a promise to revoke the permit. So it wasn't a surprise. I think what was kind of surprising to Canadian officials was that President Biden revoked the permit on his first day in office, that it was one of the first things that he did. And there seemed to be a sense among Canadian officials that even if they weren't able to change his mind, they thought they'd at least have an opportunity to make their case to him. Line 5, they would say, is different because it's a pipeline that is in operation right now. It's been in operation for decades. And so shutting it down suddenly would have, in their view, a much more a significant and immediate impact.
Yeah. As you mentioned, Seamus O'Regan, Canada's natural resource minister, has called this a non-negotiable issue for Canada. How far do you think Canada is willing to go on this issue, and what are some possible outcomes?
That's a good question. So the parliamentary committee, you know, really just said you need to speak about this to whomever you can, whenever you can, and it recommended sort of submitting an amicus brief in support of Enbridge, which Canada has done, as well as invoking the pipelines treaty, which would, my understanding is that it would require Canada and the United States to come to some sort of, enter into some sort of binding arbitration. So Canada hasn't done that yet, but it is something that I understand it hasn't ruled out. And according to the legal filings, it's something that it's discussing with its U.S. counterparts. You know, the sort of issue for Canada in a lot of these disputes with the United States is that it's a middle power and it doesn't really have a lot of leverage in a lot of these situations. So it kind of has to pick its battles. And that's why you're seeing a bit of a different response to Line 5 than we saw to Keystone. So I think that the sense among most Canadian officials is that it is best to just wait to see how this legal process pans out, and that if it were to take more drastic steps, it would do so then.
Amanda, this is one of the first big flashpoints that in U.S. environmental policy since, I guess you could say, since the Keystone Pipeline and Standing Rock. And, you know, it's been a pretty high-profile issue among people who care about the environment and has really made for some interesting constituencies among people who live up north or in the Upper Peninsula, as well as folks who Americans would traditionally consider interested in environmental protection, the tribes and green-minded voters. And it's just interesting the way that this has become about protecting the Great Lakes in a place that, you know, has strong feelings about business concerns and the livelihood of businesses. What's the vibe among voters and people you've talked to on the other side?
So I think one of the things that's been really interesting is it came up in a conversation that I had with Canada's Consul General to Detroit. And one of the things that he said is sort of a sore point for Canadians is that they feel as if there is a sense in Michigan that Canada cares less about the Great Lakes than they do. And he sort of said that he rejects that completely. And it seems to be something of a sore point.
Amanda Coletta is a reporter in Toronto. She covers Canada for The Washington Post. Amanda, very nice talking to you. Thanks for making time.
Thanks for having me, and great to talk to you too.
And just one final note, Enbridge Energy is a corporate sponsor of Michigan Radio.